So we're turning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. We've already finished this chapter, but we're going to back up just to read two or three verses there from Mark chapter 1 to see a little bit about Andrew. Thank you, son. I appreciate the bigger cup. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Good cold filtered water. All right. Now, we're reading in Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Let us hear God's word. This is about Jesus. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Now let's turn over to chapter 3, where we actually are, to verse 13. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. "And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils or demons. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house." Amen. We'll end our reading there at the close of verse 19, and we trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will come this day and take up the word that he breathed through his servants of old, that his word would come alive to us today, that we would receive something of real value, of spiritual value, of eternal value from God's word, for Jesus' sake. Andrew is the least well known of the first four apostles. You saw there in the first chapter that one day Jesus was walking by the seaside and he called those four men, four fishermen. They worked together in their fishing. And of course, Andrew was one of those, but he had an older brother that rather overshadowed him. And that was Peter, who always seemed to take his place in the spotlight, but Andrew was always kind of in the background. But let us remember the words of Jesus from Matthew 19:30. He said, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." After Peter are named James and John, the sons of thunder. We considered them a couple of weeks ago. And we know that those two brothers had to be calmed down, had to be tempered by the gentle Lord Jesus, and they grew and they learned, even though they had wanted places of prominence. John, when he wrote his gospel, wouldn't even mention his own name because he had learned not to be a self-seeking person. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in giving the list of the apostles, always put Simon Peter first. But the actual truth is that Andrew was really the first one. If you turn with me over to John's Gospel, chapter 1, John chapter 1, you'll see that. John 1, yes, I've got to. Here we are. Yes, I'm on the right page and trying to turn to another page. If you notice here in John chapter 1, verse 35. This was the day after John the Baptist had baptized Jesus. It's very interesting that the Apostle John was standing there, but he was so modest he didn't mention himself. So we have an earlier account of the first time Andrew met Jesus. Later, Jesus came down to where Andrew was working at the fishing boats. Okay, so notice here. This is the day after Jesus was baptized. John stood and two of his disciples. If you don't believe me, you can read the verses right before that. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master," "Teacher," "where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. That would have been, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The day was drawing toward the close. One of the two which heard John, that is John the Baptist, speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah." Now that is the Greek form of Messiah, which is Hebrew. This is the Greek form, which is being interpreted the Christ, translated Christ. Messiah is actually a transliteration of the Hebrew word, but Christ is the translation or the interpretation into the Greek language, Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone, or also a little pebble. Okay. Now we know from this that Andrew was the first. He was there before Peter because he brought his own brother Peter to Jesus. All right, but I want us to notice that not only was Andrew first, he was also fervent. As soon as he met Jesus, he wanted his brother to meet Jesus. And the third thing I want you to see today is that Andrew was faithful, because not only did he do what he did at the beginning of his life and ministry, the day after Jesus was baptized, Andrew became a follower of Jesus. And to the day that he died, crucified on a cross shaped like this, he was telling other individuals about Jesus. He was faithful, even in those 2 days that he hung on that cross, when he was crucified. Now, Andrew was Christ's first disciple. John the Beloved was obviously writing what he knew, what he had seen, what he had heard. John the Baptist had been baptizing at Bethabara on the east side of the Jordan River. And Christ came to him and was baptized. On the next day, verse 35 tells us, it's the very day after Jesus was baptized, John was standing with two of his disciples looking at Jesus as he walked by. And once again, John lifted up those awesome words, "Behold the Lamb of God." It was a command to look at the Lamb of God. Well, these two disciples of John the Baptist obeyed that command. Immediately, they left John and they followed Jesus. They kept looking at him and they followed him. And They left John and continued looking at Jesus. They stayed at his dwelling place overnight and they learned from him. They enjoyed his fellowship and they received his instruction. He was speaking the divine word to them. Now, we know that one of those two who became disciples that day after Jesus' baptism was Andrew. His name. But John, the other one, was obviously John. He knew every day, he knew every detail, but yet he was so modest, being filled with the Spirit, no longer was he about John anymore. So he never mentioned himself. He was just two disciples, one of them was Andrew, and he would not even mention himself. But he gives the detail. That was Andrew's introduction to Christ. But as we read at the beginning, later Christ came to the place where Andrew worked. And then Andrew forsook his father, forsook the fishing nets, and became a continual follower of Christ. So I say that Andrew was the first disciple, first apostle of Christ, whose name we definitely know. Secondly, he was not only first, he was fervent. What did he do? When he realized, this is the Messiah. This is the promised one. The King of Israel. The one who is going to save our nation. The one who's going to save all of his people. Wow. I want my brother to know about this. Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist, which tells us that Andrew was already fed up with the formalism and the hypocrisies of the scribes and Pharisees. He wanted to do something about it. So he was following John the Baptist. Therefore he had been willing to leave home. He had been willing to go into the rugged life of the wilderness with John the Baptist. So Andrew was very fervent. As soon as he was convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, he hurried to get his dear brother Peter. And bringing Peter to Jesus, what an example he was. He couldn't hold it in. He had to tell others, beginning with his own brother, what the Lord had done for him and who the Lord was. He loved his brother, so he had to get him to Christ. What an example he was. An excited Christian witness and a soul winner. That was Andrew. It didn't matter to Andrew that Peter would probably try to take over everything because he knew his older brother. Andrew was a humble brother that didn't have to be in charge. Ain't got to be in the spotlight. He knew Peter's tendency was to domineer. Yet Andrew was not himself overcome with jealousy or with selfishness. Andrew did not seek to be the center of attention. Yet he did not resent those did. He was content to do what he could and to let others do what they could. Andrew appears to be one of the least contentious of the 12 apostles. You know, they all like to at times discuss who's going to be the top dog, the greatest evangelist that ever hit the Middle East and all that. Well, Andrew was not outspoken. When the Bible records Andrew speaking, he said things that were right things because he had carefully considered what he was going to say before he said it. He was a thoughtful person. His older brother just blurted it out. Peter did. Whenever he felt prompted, he would just blurt out whatever was on his mind. Andrew tended to think it over a little more. And what he said that the Scripture records were really good things. Andrew's name comes from the Greek noun, aner, andros, you know, maybe those two forms, you Greek students. And it means man. Anthropos is one of the words where we get anthropology, it's a word for man in Greek, but also aner, andros. Manly. Andrew was no sissy. Andrew was a strong man. He was a fisherman who helped to handle those heavy fishing nets when they were full of fish and wet. He was a strong man. He was a rugged man. that had lived in the wilderness with John the Baptist. It was no easy life out there eating locusts and wild honey. In order to get that wild honey, he had to deal with the wild beasts. Andrew was the first of the apostles. He was a fervent apostle that eagerly went and won Peter to Christ. And finally, Andrew was a faithful apostle. When Andrew began to follow Christ, he demonstrated his zeal, his fervor to bring others to the Savior. He continued to do this to his very last breath. He was a zealous personal worker. Christ had called those four fishermen to be fishers of men. Now, although Andrew was used to handling the nets in fishing, Christ had ordained a little different pathway for Andrew. Andrew would do much fishing for individuals, usually bringing them to Christ one by one. Even Peter is seen in Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. They come to collecting the tribute, tax money, and they said to Peter, y'all pay tribute? Oh, yeah. Me and my master, we pay. So Jesus sent Peter down to the sea. He said, go put the hook in, and the first fish that comes up, it'll be a coin in his mouth. That piece of money you take out of the fish's mouth and go pay for you and me. Okay? So Peter had done a little individual fishing. Okay, but this is the kind of fishing that Andrew is going to do for the rest of his life. Most often we see Peter using the big net, speaking to the great crowds on the day of Pentecost. He cast out the gospel net and he caught 3,000 souls. And in chapter 4 of Acts, two chapters later, he cast out the big gospel net again and caught 5,000 souls for Jesus. Peter also preached to the ruling council, the Sanhedrin. And all those men listened to him as he made the defense of the gospel of Christ. And again, Peter preached to the packed house of Cornelius and brought them all into the gospel net of salvation. But Andrew, on the other hand, is never seen dealing with crowds, only with individuals. He ministered faithfully to individuals, bringing individual persons to Christ. First, he brought his own brother, Peter, to Jesus. If you remember, there was a day when Jesus fed 5,000. It was Andrew who found the little boy, brought the little boy with his lunch to Jesus. John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. See what he did? He brought another one to Jesus. In John chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, there were some Greeks. There were a few of these Greeks that wanted to see Jesus. And they said to Philip in John 12, verses 20 and 21, Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, Philip was a little unsure how to handle it, so he told Andrew, because he knew that Andrew was good and well experienced at bringing individuals to Jesus. So Andrew helped with this because he knew Christ so well that he knew that Christ would want anybody that was seeking him to come to him. Because you know, right after Jesus fed the 5,000, a few chapters earlier, Jesus had said in John 6, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Andrew knew that's the way Jesus would deal with these foreigners, these Greeks. So he brought them to Jesus. Well, Andrew was faithful in casting the gospel hook to individuals.
and drawing them to Jesus. You know, most people that come to know Christ do so because of that kind of ministry, one-on-one. They come because of the influence of an individual, because of the testimony of a friend, because of a word spoken to them by a co-worker, a neighbor, or a relative. People usually come to know Christ by that means. So the most effective and the normal way of bringing people to Jesus is that one at a time individual way. I would say that most of the people here have probably heard of the world famous evangelist who lived a century ago. His name was D.L. or Dwight Lyman Moody. How many of you had ever heard of Moody? D.L. Moody. Oh, good. You've heard of him. Oh, great. So D.L. Moody was a 19-year-old lost shoe salesman in the city of Chicago. How many of you ever heard the name of the one who led him to Christ? Well, he did. He's very insignificant, unknown, but he has a great reward because he won Moody to Christ. He was a timid, soft-spoken, shy man named Edward Kimball. Mr. Kimball went to speak one day to Moody in the shoe store. And he was trembling and frightened. And he was so shaky about the whole thing that he walked right on past the shoe store. I don't know if I'm going to do this. So he was really encouraged as he prayed and he regained a little courage. So he dashed back to the store and he spoke to young Moody. He couldn't even remember what he said that day. He said, I said something about Christ and His love, and that was all, and I left. And that day, Moody gave his heart to the Lord. What a tremendous blessing followed for tens of thousands around this globe, sinners who came to know Christ through Moody's ministry. You know, Andrew understood the value of befriending just one person at a time and bringing that one to Christ. Andrew believed that Christ could take little insignificant things like bread and fish and multiply them and make them something great and monumental. You may feel yourself like you're not very useful. You're so little and insignificant. But you know, God has said He uses that which is little and insignificant. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you see it right there in verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 27. God hath chosen, look down, the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things, that is right at the lowest level, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, or even like they didn't even exist, to bring to nothing, naught or nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. It is God's purpose to use that which is little, weak, and insignificant in the eyes of men. Andrew was willing to do little things for the glory of God, for needy souls, and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Andrew was first, Andrew was fervent, and Andrew was faithful. He was reliable. He continued right to the very end of his life. The post-apostolic writers, those who wrote in the history of the church after the apostles had passed away, those writers wrote that Andrew evangelized among the Slavic countries. He led a relative of the Roman governor to Christ. And when that relative of the Roman governor refused to give up on Christianity and turn away from Christ. That governor had Andrew crucified. But Andrew didn't feel worthy to be crucified as Jesus was. So Andrew asked them to put a cross like this in the ground and to put him up on that cross. And you know, Andrew hung there, as they recorded, on that cross for 2 days. And he used all of the breath that he had, urging others to believe on Christ, the only Messiah. You know, most of us are not able to speak to large crowds, but we can, and we must speak to individuals about Christ, even as Andrew did. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the way that Thou dost use different people. Oh God, Thou hast given to all of us as Thy professing people a purpose. So Lord, we pray that Thou wilt use us and help us to do what we can in sharing the good news of the only Redeemer and the only hope of a dying world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.